This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
And welcome to Sound the Shofar. It is Friday, the 16th day of January, 2015. We are glad you have joined us. I am Tower, and you are listening to Warn Radio. This is a production of the WIBR Warn Radio Ministries. We are an end-time preaching, teaching, and warning agency which heralds in the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. Tonight on Warn Radio, Sound the Shofar, the Watchman will cover Surviving the Coming Afflictions, 2015, Part 2. Sound the Shofar is a place of fellowship, friendship, love, warning, exhortation, and on Friday nights, we gather around to welcome in the Shabbat. We are in Christ Jesus and have made up our hearts and minds to live by faith in the Lord no matter what. We are determined to meet all challenges head-on with the faith of Jesus Christ, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and living daily by God's Word. We gather tonight to listen to God's Word, encourage one another, and to rejuvenate ourselves in the presence of the Lord. We are in the last days, and you, my friend, are the remnant. We are closing the chapter on the book of Acts, and soon our Lord will appear. Be sure to check out our other websites. Go to www.warn-usa.com, www.warn-radio.com, or www.wingswatchman.org for more headlines, lead stories, radio shows, and articles. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad to be here with you. It's a great day in the Lord.
Yes, it is. We're glad it's Shabbat around here.
Yes, we are. We're ready for the rest.
I know. I hear you there. No doubt about that.
Yes.
And in our warm-up segment tonight, we're just going to do a little bit of things about what we're doing. And the D-Day for America chat now has been incorporated into warn-usa.com, Warn Radio. So when you go to the D-Day for America site, it will automatically lead you to our main warn-usa.com site. And the chat on it is private. You will not find it in the search engines per se, not this one. With the others, we have two others that you could find in the search engine. We don't use them anymore. But this new one, you have to be logged in with Chatango in order to chat. You will not be able to just access the chat because it is accessible by password only. And this provides a safe, secure, and private place for the brethren to talk without prying eyes, ears, and people that want to cause trouble. And so we are working on putting a stream over there. I wouldn't hold my breath on that one because I'm in no hurry to do that. But, you know, I mean, you can click on the blog talk link and listen to the audio there and then go back to the chat and play. So you really don't need it. But, you know, the thing that we are doing, we're continuing with the with a video, although we're not broadcasting in video. We put this up, a high-def video, on Vimeo and on our own websites. And because Vimeo is our video site, we use the embeds from those on our website. But we get quite a lot of people that go over there and watch them because they are 2 hours long, except for the news programs. And starting the end of this month, we are going to change the format of the shows. We're doing this because there's things that I have to be able to do Monday through pretty much Thursday. And so we, at the end of this month, we will no longer have the news show at noon. We will have our first show will be on Thursday nights starting in February. There will be no show till Thursday night, and the Thursday night show will be 3 hours long. And it will incorporate news. We will endeavor to bring guests on and have special features. So it'll be 3 hours long on Thursday night. And the Friday night segment will start at 6:30 and will run for 1 hour. And we did that so people could come in, we could have our chat and the teaching and get together, and then we can, you know, dismiss to go enjoy Sabbath. So that's one of the reasons we did that. And we will continue to have a lot of things on our websites, and I'm also in the process. I have a continual process. I've got the book finished, but I've got a lot of stuff to do with that, and I'm going to continue with things like this. But we will always have the radio shows, and starting tonight, actually it's tonight, this is a rather special night, although we didn't advertise it. We're going to advertise it when we start all the new shows. We're going to have a little anniversary. Tonight is the 1,000th episode that we've had on Blog Talk. So we've done, and we were here from the beginning. And that makes it, see, and they still haven't changed the episodes on the front of the Wings Watchman, I mean on Blog Talk, but I've been monitoring it. We are in excess of, we're at 1,000 episodes on Blog Talk, no matter what the front of this thing says. It hasn't been updated. It said that 4 days ago. 5 days ago, and it's still saying the same thing, so I don't know if they even know what's going on. On my board, it says that they haven't updated all the stats, and they're catching up in that, so that's Blog Talk, you know, they're behind. But at any rate, we've got 1,000 episodes, and we're going to be changing a few things. Thursday nights will be the big night. It'll give us all week to work on it. And put the effort into the first hour will be news, and then the second and third hours will be any number of things, from guest interviews to special features. So we don't know how it's going to work out, but I am going to video those, and they will be available because of the way I've got it set up now. All my videos clip off at 1 hour. So I can do 3 one-hour videos and put them on, every week I can put them up on our special video site. So at any rate, that's some of the changes that we're looking at. We're still considering a number of other options for other broadcasts because we did get off of American Voice Radio. We felt we'd been on there long enough. We've been on there, I think, six years or so. And we were on there 4 or 5 days a week at times. Other times we were there Friday and Sunday. I should say about 3 times a week, but it was quite a few times a month. So at any rate, those are some of the changes that are coming. Over on our Warren Radio site, the chat is cleaner. It has access immediately to all the resources we have there. So we wanted to move the chat right where you could find the remnant resources, which is all of the teachings and recipes and things concerning anything from challah bread or challah bread to whatever. I mean, we just have a lot of stuff over there, and we wanted to make it available for you. And so we brought them all together on the same site. And so that's a little bit of what we're actually working on. And so at any rate,
I think they're good.
At any rate, the 3 hour show's a little different. I'm a little hesitant to do 3 hours. But, the bottom line of it is that, there's a lot of people that just do one major show a week. And I have to do the websites, write the articles. I've been putting up a lot of articles. I'm writing the book and got to finish that. I just don't have time to do 5 nights a week. I just do not do that. Plus, I have to prepare. So the major study will be on a Friday night. There'll be about an hour long. We'll be covering a lot of the things that we do already. And then I'm also working on some other private teaching studies that I want to do. And these private teaching studies will not even be advertised. These things are for people who we know who want to get in depth in Scripture. And it will be accessible on our chat and on Blog Talk Radio, and I may even do more, but I'm working on that in the future because we will be teaching. But the whole idea is for discipleship, and a lot of people want to play. We're not here to play. We're here to have fun, but we're also here to disciple, to understand what is ahead of us. So, at any rate, Tower, what do you got to say about some of these things?
Oh, I think I like the changes because we think they'll be good. We have other things that we need to work on, and I'll like them, I'm sure. And the 3 hour show, you can have a lot of variety of things on that. I think that'll be a good thing.
Well, I think it will be too. And, one of the first things we want to celebrate is 1,000 episodes.
That's exciting.
But at any rate, well, yeah, we had 1,000 episodes of that. And if you count, AVR, we were on there, I don't know, I lost, 6 years or so, and we did an average of 3 to 4 shows a week on AVR. So, you figure times 4, 12 a month, So, that's a lot of shows, and of course,
yes, it is.
But at any rate, we're glad to be here tonight. I want to remind you to go over to the warren-usa.com site. We got an excellent video over there that just came out from CBN, and we really do appreciate CBN for allowing many of the ministry sites to embed their stuff, as long as you link it up.
Yes.
And so we've got a short video, about 5 minutes, about what's happening in Iraq and Syria with ISIS, and CBN sent one of their news reporters over there, and this is about 3 women, and you have heard me talk about how ISIS and the way they've been bloody and raping women and sex slaves, and this is about 3 women who overcame what ISIS did. Very good video, wouldn't you say, Tower?
Oh, I enjoyed watching it. I'm glad for the victory, and one gal was was gave her heart to the Lord. She was healed, and she helped rescue people, or the another one did, I believe. And I don't know. It's wonderful how the Lord is moving even in these last days. I know we're in the last days, and when I pray, I ask the Lord to have mercy, even in His judgment, to please remember mercy.
That's right.
To these people.
And tonight we're talking about surviving the coming afflictions. And when I teach on a lot of these things, I always try to emphasize that we live in the miraculous. Now, on this video is a young woman that got healed miraculously. The doctor couldn't believe it, but she got healed. She became a Christian. So this is where
that's exciting.
We need to walk. Okay? And
Amen.
This
Me
is too. Exciting.
I want to see that.
This should just excite you to no end. And
that's right.
You know, if this doesn't excite you, if it doesn't bring that tear of joy to your eye, then you may be dead as a Christian. Yeah, I mean it. I'm serious. I mean, you've got the Spirit of God. If you're born again, saved, and you know the Lord, you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and that Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is going to be happy and rejoicing over one soul. So you'd better understand what this is about. And God has called us in these end times, and I thank God for testimonies like this. So
Amen.
At any rate, I've got...
I think that was exciting. The doctors wanted to know what she did with the tumor because they couldn't believe that God would heal. I thought that was
yeah.
funny. Like, what's some person going to do with a tumor?
Well, that sounds like America, too. You know, that's the way we are in America. And,
yeah.
Well, you know, and also I have another major article that I wrote about Daesh. And this is, in order to understand the term, you need to go read it. It's about ISIS and how other Muslims are beginning, they've been really, they don't like ISIS. And this tells you about the dichotomy within that and a little bit about this battle and what it all means. So a very informative article with I do have quite a number of pictures on it. And I do that because I want you to understand this is a worldwide battle. And you've got people on the front lines. And I might talk about this tonight. There's a couple things I want to bring out in this study tonight. Because you need to understand these things. Because your help, you'd be surprised who may stand up to help you. Because God can do that. He can give you favor with people.
Yeah.
And people you don't even know or people that you think may hate you will stand up and defend you or hide you or help you. So.
I've got a little helper back here, Dana.
Yep. Well, at any rate, we are certainly glad to hear these testimonies coming out. And this ain't the first one coming out from that whole area. We've talked about it. The last one we talked about, Yazidi, who had given his heart to the Lord because he saw the difference between the Muslims and how they were and the Christians. And so... he became a Christian. So God is working, and you know, and you've got these bloody people that are trying to kill everybody all over the globe now. And we just thank God that we do see these things going on. Of course, you can't get away from, you know, the lukewarmness and away from those people who are in the world who may listen to us talk about this and ridicule it. And, you know, the things of God are foolishness to those who do not know God. You know, people try to reach out and know God through the five senses. But God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You must be born again of the spirit, not of the flesh. And so this is a circumcision of the heart through the Spirit of God. And, you either got it or you don't. And there's only one way to get it, and that's through Yeshua. But at any rate, coming up in February, probably the February the 3rd, I think it is, will be our first of the new schedule. Not February the 3rd, because I've changed that. It's February the 5th. And then we will go from there. Because as soon as we get... we got a lot of stuff to do with this book, and when I get the book done, I've got a bunch of others that I'm going to be writing by the grace of God. And so we pray that you would just stick with us and pray for us, because we are working on a number of outreaches. And we really want to do, I've been thinking about a local broadcast here in Wyoming. But I need to find, a place to do it, and I don't know if I can do it, because I do get excited a time or two, and most of these secular stations don't like that. So I may just have to do something else. But we are looking at various things. Right now, the ability to really get on and really say things, what you should be preaching about in America, is really dwindling, unfortunately. So at any rate, we are going to have to get going with this. And Surviving the Coming Afflictions 2015. Oh, by the way, speaking of 2015, don't forget to go over to our warn-usa.com site and check out Ron Paul's latest. You may not like Ron Paul, but we do. If you're a Ron Paul dude or dudette, and you want to hear what he's talking about 2015 and some of his predictions, we've got those on the website. We've got his entire article. It's really big. So go on over there and check it out. We've got the latest on the fuel, the oil, and everything else. We are in that kind of an area as well. And all of those things, I was following all of that. We have our legislature. I'm following that as well. And right now, the budget that Wyoming is figuring a barrel of oil. I think it's under $60 or $65 a barrel. But some of them have talked about the budget being around 50. I have read where some of these people, even in the bacon field, they can go as low as $25 a barrel and still make money. However, in the long run, the U.S. government has put out projections that a barrel of oil will be down for at least a year. And Obama has not stopped at all. He's pushing for more controls on carbon, coal, gas, and everything else. This is part of his war. He didn't like carbon. This was his big thing. And so this is all ramping up. By 2030, if something don't change, there is 3 power plants in Wyoming alone that are going to have to close because of Obama's regulations. This is what he's done. And this Obama is not a friend of the carbon and the coal industry. And it's really ironic, because it's the coal and the oil and the gas that has propped up the dollar and America, and actually helped this economy along. And it did it for a guy that don't even like carbon. So at any rate, Tower, do you got anything to add? Or
sure. The reading this week in the Word is Exodus chapter 6, starting at verse 2 through chapter 9, verse 35, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 25 through chapter 29, verse 21. And the New Testament reading is Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through 24. Being prepared is an ongoing task, and doing it as we can afford it can be challenging. That is why Warren Radio has its very own Bug Out Store. You can visit our Bug Out Store, where we have too many items to list, by going to wingswatchman.org, where we have special links to our inventory, like emergency items, radios, Bibles, extreme survival items, and survival food. So do yourself a favor and bug on over to our Bug Out Survival Store. Go to wingswatchman.org. And you can get in on everything going on at the WIBR Warren Radio by following us on Twitter. Here is our handle on Twitter. It's hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warren Radio, or hashtag WGS underscore Watchman. And now I welcome back the Watchman for the rest of tonight's show for part two of Surviving the Coming Afflictions 2015.
Thank you, Tower. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I ask, Father, for your anointing to be able to preach and teach this word, and I send forth this anointed word across the phone lines, the internet connection, to the uttermost part of the earth. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and streaming of this word in any and all parts of this broadcast. In Jesus' name, you are bound. Okay, Surviving the Coming Afflictions 2015. You know, whenever you talk about wisdom, and we did start out with wisdom, you know, Scripture always asks or admonishes people to attend to wisdom. Even the Lord said, "He who have ears to hear, let him hear." And that is, when you come, you come with an ear and a heart wanting to learn, wanting to listen. But many people come with a heart ready to debate, ready to fight, ready to criticize, ready not to listen. And this has always been that way, even from the time of our Lord. And tonight, when we talk about surviving, there is that prudence. Who will listen? There is that event. Who shall listen to what we're trying to say? Who will listen? Now, in Proverbs, we get a lot of that. You know, Proverbs 1, 1 through 7, a good place to start tonight. But first, I want to remind you that prudence, sakil, or sakil, intelligence, implies success. Discretion, knowledge, policy, sense. You've heard of common sense? I don't think we have much of that today, but understanding, wisdom, and wise. Prudence. Now, of course, Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, he writes in Proverbs 1, in verse 2, he says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." One of the biggest tasks that there is to issue forth wisdom and knowledge, scripture, and teaching, and want people to hear it, understand it, and allow that particular word combined with their faith to benefit them. But all too often we have barriers up that prevent us from that. But see, we are coming, and really, specifically, we are in a time right now when we are seeing worldwide chaos. We are seeing many things. Peace has been taken from the earth. And all of this is encompassing the globe. And we have this worldwide push by the nations for a one world order. America's caught up in the middle of this. And there is coming that time when survival will be one of the foremost things people want to do. They want to survive. Now, in Iraq, when Daesh went through there, and now Daesh, for your ears, is IS, or the Islamic State. That's what they call themselves today. They're a caliphate. When they went through Syria. They took over, various bases from Assad's men, butchered Assad's men. They had planes. They captured planes and tanks and Humvees. And they captured a lot of American stuff that we had given to the Iraqi army, too, because they went through Syria and went into Mosul, where the Sunni triangle is, and where a lot of Christians are, the Assyrians there. And, before we invaded Saddam, there were a lot of Christians and churches in Iraq. Today, the count is virtually nil. In the Mosul area where ISIS went into, there's no Christians left. Not that anybody knows. They might be former Christians, but the churches have been destroyed. The crosses have been destroyed. The Yazidis that were in the area, they had to go to Mount Shingal. Many of them got slaughtered. The women were raped. They were taken captive. It was a mess. And so in this whole area, you had this coming in, but there were people that were watching. They were other Muslims. They were the Peshmerga that was in northern Kurdistan in Iraq. Now, in Syrian Kurdistan, which doesn't exist, they call it Rojava, but they're trying to get it there, and Turkey doesn't want that. So Turkey is not a friend to those, for instance, that are in Kobani or in Al-Arab. And so what happened is that the YPG and the YPJ, that's the People's Defense Forces, both the men and the women, they each have individual armies, began to fight against Daesh. Now, I wrote this article today, and it's over on our website, warn-usa.com. But I'm bringing this up because if you were a Christian living in Mosul, surviving coming afflictions would be very important, because they got word, and before they knew it, Daesh was on the outskirts of Mosul. And in some cases, people could not get out of these small towns quick enough in order to get out of the way. Even Muslims got slaughtered by Daesh. And so it was just bloody all the way. Now, the YPG and the YPJ, the People's Defense Forces, decided that they were going to stand up and fight Daesh. And when ISIL came in, or Daesh came in to Kobani, or Kobane, and that area, Turkey and their group of tanks and their army were standing up on the hill, looking down on Cobain, waiting for Daesh to destroy them. The whole world watched. Nobody helped them. There was no coalition planes at the time. And there wasn't anybody else helping them. There were men, women, old women, young men, boys, girls. They were all fighting. They took up arms and they were fighting. They were the only ones there. They weren't going to give up. And there was a reason they were fighting. And I write in this article the code of conduct, the moral code of conduct that they had. Because what we found out from the Peshmerga, and these are the ones that Turkey does not like, Erdogan does not like, that they actually took the defense and would protect Yazidis, Christians, and other Muslims from Daesh. Because they wanted the land to return. They didn't have any problems with these others, Christians and others, living in the land with them. And they lived peaceably. There was no fear. So you can say that when we start talking about surviving coming afflictions, you may never know who God will move on, even if they're not a Christian, but say an unbeliever. Now see, I backed the Kobani group and the Peshmerga because of what they did with the Yazidis. Yazidis are not Christians. I don't want to see them slaughtered. I don't want to see Muslims slaughtered, and I don't want to see Christians slaughtered. But you see, because they did stand up, the Peshmerga, for instance, many of them lost their lives. The Yazidis were able to get out of Shingal, especially this last time, because the Peshmerga took the whole thing back from them, and they were saved alive. Now they're living in camps. The Christians are living in camps, and many others. It's a mess over there today, and there are ministries trying to help feed them as well as the Red Crescent. But I said that to tell you that these are a group of Muslims that look upon Daesh, another group of Muslims, who are bringing in a caliphate to honor their God. They both have mosques. They both serve their God. But one fundamentally, absolutely rejects what the other one's doing because they are destroying the humanity, the people. And this is very important. And God raised, you know, there's no doubt that if it hadn't have been for them, your Christians wouldn't even be alive today. Neither would your Yazidis. Now see, this is specific. And in your own life, if you're living in America and all, you know what, breaks loose in this nation, you have to be in that place of faith and belief to understand that God can raise up anybody to come to your aid. And then on the other hand, you may die a martyr's death. And that's what people don't want to talk about. So when we talk about what we're talking about tonight, Proverbs 5, 1-2 sums it up this way. My son, Scripture says, attend unto my wisdom. Bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Now you see, if we talk about the fool, for instance, a fool will go out and openly confess things. And in many cases, he'll just let it be known what was happened to him or what was done to him. Or if he does something, he'll let his folly be known to all around. But a prudent man or woman does not let those things which are done to him known. If knowing that once he begins speaking about it, it will hurt him further down the line. If you start saying things, and the word gets around that, hey, he escaped, you need to go after him. See, a prudent man will conceal knowledge if that knowledge given out will hurt him. That's why the Lord said, beware of men for they shall deliver you up. Now, see, that is a prudent thing. If, for instance, we enter in, and we will, into the time of the mark of the beast and the time when the beast, Revelation 13, is making war with the believers, and that's those who keep the commandments of God and the faith and testimony of Jesus Christ. If indeed you are there at that time, and he begins doing this, and so you are in an area where they try to kill you and they think they've done it, then it's prudent not to let people know that you're alive. It's also prudent to understand, as the Lord said, beware of men, for they shall deliver you up. And many times we've seen this, is that when people are troubled, what do? They go to civilization, they go into the cities and these others. Why? Because that's where they can find food and help. And that's all well and good. Now see, for the Yazidis and the Assyrians, the Christians in that area, they went north, fleeing from the Mosul area and others in that area, and Shingal, and Daesh. Some of them, on the way fleeing, got caught and killed. And many other things happened to them. While others made it into the city where people were. Now, in the time of that arena of the mark of the beast, you will want to avoid men in as much as possible, unless you really know them, unless you really Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Verse 23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A fool will just let everything be known. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. You see, a prudent man wants to understand his way. And as a believer, we want to understand our way, which is walking in the way of the Lord. We want to know that, the wisdom of the prudent, to understand that, to walk in it. That's why we're doing this study, Surviving Coming Affliction, to understand everything that we can understand in Scripture concerning this. Now see, but a fool will mock this. A fool will say, ah, that's nothing. Or a fool will say, there is no God. And that's where we get into Proverbs 15:5 that says a fool despises his father's instruction. Now, it can be his real dad, but if we look to the Father, our God and our Father, who gave us of his only begotten Son, there's many fools in society. They deny the Father, or they deny the Son. They deny the Father and the Son, but they despise the Father's instructions. For God plainly said, he commands all men everywhere to repent. And a fool, well, there is no God. Or if he acknowledges there's a God, well, you know, all ways lead to heaven. Or it isn't going to matter when the mark of the beast comes and all this other stuff, because it'll be okay. Now, you see, Paul warned us as believers that God, our Father, deals with us as a father does his son, and he will reprove us. Scripture says, as many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens. We have all the letters to the churches in Revelation. where the Lord reveals to them the things they need to consider doing right. Now, you see, that's where a fool despises the instruction of the Lord and Scripture. But those that regard the reproof, those that look into the Laodicean church and say, well, you know, if I'm like that, I want to repent. That's prudent. That's being smart. That's accepting wisdom. So if we know that this time is coming, then we have to apply every bit of prudent behavior, prudent wisdom, and knowledge that we can. So we can put together Scripture with where we're at. Because you need to figure out, in your life and your family, should something happen, am I going to be able to make it out? Am I going to be able to feed them? Am I going to be able to get water? Now, there comes a time when that food, that water, and even that place that you may call safety may come to an end. And so where man's efforts and faith ends, that's where God's miraculous begins. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. What did Daniel do? Well, he fasted and he prayed and he was always seeking the Lord. Well, there's something to learn. As prudent people, therefore, we say, well, we need to fast and pray. We need to seek the Lord. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Was he fearful? Doesn't say that he was. But the next morning, he said, the Lord sent an angel to shut the lion's mouth. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the same way. And they wouldn't bow down to the image. And so they got mad at him and threw him in the furnace, and the Lord delivered them. But they went into the furnace, but the miraculous happened there. And if you look at Peter and the boys, including Paul, they spread the gospel through the entire Roman Empire. And, yeah, they would get beat, persecuted, chased down. Paul was shipwrecked, left for dead, and all kinds of other things. But they kept pushing the gospel and doing what they were called to do. But when they got in prison, I mean, by the time Paul got to Rome and was put in, you know, what you would call it is when the emperor, you know, Caesar himself, when he came before Caesar, he was just locked up, you know, and he was just kept in a house for 2 years and people could come and go. He wrote most of the New Testament in bonds in Rome. Now, that's how the Lord works. Now, Peter was chained up between two different, you know, between guards and in a jail cell. An angel came and delivered him from between the two men. The chains fell off, the door opened, and then he had to escort him out of the prison area. Now see, that's the miraculous, folks. And if we live in the carnal in America, and if we live in the I don't know what I'm going to do stage, you're going to be in trouble. If you live in the I'm not going to make it stage, you probably won't make it. If you live in that area that says, well, God doesn't deliver anymore, he doesn't heal anymore, he doesn't, you know, there's no miraculous, then there will be none for you, more than likely. See, God is calling you to understand that there is that place. And that place is, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. And so you're going to come up against things that it's physically impossible to get through. But you see, just like the testimony of that young woman who was a Muslim, she had to have an operation. And she was very, very sick. She had a big tumor. And she said God healed her. She went in to get operated on. And the doctor could find no tumor. That's where you want to be. She didn't do anything special. But see, this is where God is today. He is in the supernatural, affecting the natural, looking after His people. And He has set angels round about us. He's given us His Spirit and His Word. Proverbs 16:21 says, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning." Proverbs 18:15, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." Proverbs 14:15, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." The wise in heart shall be called prudent. You're wise. You're not foolish. You know there's a God. You seek after Him. And if there's an adjustment in your ways, you make it. The heart of that believer, being prudent, will seek after knowledge, seek after the Lord, want to learn. But you're living in a generation that Paul said that this generation is ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. As believers, we've come to the knowledge of the truth and we've overcame. So as a believer who has overcame, we know we're not in darkness, Paul says, that day should catch us unaware. That's knowledge. And the prudence of that says, I'm going to be prepared. I know this. I know what's coming. I know this is going on. Therefore, I shall prepare myself and my family. Because God wants us to know. Now, when we talk about prudence, there's one thing that when we talk about prudence, especially today, and that is a prudent wife. Proverbs 19:14 says, "Houses, a house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." The word Lord there is Yahweh, the personal covenant name of God. A prudent wife is part of that covenant. That's really what it's saying. You can have a prudent wife. She's not a fool. She seeks after knowledge. She will learn. And he goes in, if you go to Proverbs 31, and you've probably heard this, you've read this, but when we're talking about surviving coming afflictions, and you have a woman beside you, a wife, she's going to be that ruby. She's that prudent wife. It says a prudent wife is from the Lord. Prudent. Wise, understanding, knowledgeable. All those things that we've been talking about. Who can find a virtuous woman? Now today, who can find it? I mean, we can, you know, all those young starlets. And Fox News is getting to be more like a porno shop than anything anymore, their webpage. They're always talking about these young starlets. Oh, such and such is going in a see-through whatever it was. And, you know, I never look at these things. But, you know, I mean, they're written right there where you can see them. And they've got all kinds of these things, all about women. The young women movie starlets, you know, because that's what pushes. That's what the people, you know, the men and the women, too. They want to see this stuff. But see, you and I, We want a virtuous woman. We also want virtuous men, but we want a virtuous woman. And her price is far above rubies. Now, if you and I as believers want a virtuous woman, and her price is far above rubies, what do you think the Lord wants in the church? He wants a virtuous church. Virtuous, righteous, holy. Not just that way in the blood of the Lamb, but in the practice of the matter. Abstain from all appearance of evil, Scripture says. Even in the wicked times that we live in. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she'll have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now that doesn't mean your wife is perfect. Believe me, you know, neither one of us are perfect. But we work within that confines of being a believer in the Lord, confessing our sins, seeking him, and knowing that love is that conjunction that connects us. The love of the Lord, the love of each other, and that love of the brethren flowing through the Spirit of God into our lives. And we're not perfect. But you know, in such a situation, and I've been married for years, and I know, it's been a lot of years, it's gone like that. But we know, and we may, you know, you may have an off day. Instead of having a day off, you may have an off day, right? But you know that when push comes to shove, they're going to be in your corner. Now, you see, I know that. The trust level that we have isn't like when we first got married. And you see, all this is part of surviving coming afflictions, because if you got a household and you and your wife don't get along, and she's not virtuous and she's going out on you, or if you're a woman and you're trying to be virtuous and you got an idiot of a husband that all he does is spend his time sleeping with other women, and you've caught him doing that four times, it's time to lose him. Get rid of him. That's scriptural. You can do that. Especially if he's threatening you. But you see, the thing of it is, that's the virtuous woman, the prudent woman. And all you have to do is go to Proverbs 30, and you can 31, and you can read that. But you see, a prudent man will foresee the evil and will hide himself, prepare himself, while a simple person or a fool will just simply ignore it and go on. You know, bridges out, but they keep walking. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, I've said this before, so just give me some slack here. We've seen this, I mean, I've seen this so many times regarding Christians overseas. Now, it doesn't apply to Christians here in America, because, frankly, you're not being slaughtered like many of them overseas are, okay? But overseas, they have been brought to the Lord and westernized for the most part. And they go to church, you know, they have the same time there. They have to go into the church, and they go in on Sunday or whenever it is at the same time, all the time. Kenya, Nigeria, Iraq. Oh. They do it. They go in there and they're all gathered around at the same time every week. And you've got Boko Haram, you have got Daesh, you have got Al-Qaeda, you've got some group. And it's usually Muslim, Islamic, or they're in India, it's Hindu radicals. Or it's like in Pakistan, you had a husband and a wife, newly married, and they were burned alive because the imam said they blasphemed Allah, so they burned them alive. Welcome to Christianity 101 overseas. You can't even sneeze without getting killed. Like the Christians in Iraq, they told them, you're a peace-loving, and you need to stay in your churches. Well, they found out the ones that stayed in the churches ended up dying, women getting raped and taken hostage. There's nothing in Scripture that tells you to stay put and to set yourself up. Well, if we miss them this Sunday, we'll get them next Sunday. They're there every Sunday. They're there every Friday night. They're there every Wednesday night or whenever you're there. Matter of fact, the Lord told his own disciples, he said, if they persecute you here, go on to the next city. The Lord himself refused to go in jewelry, J-E-W-R-Y, because they sought to kill him. What was he? He was being prudent. He was using knowledge and wisdom. He's not going to go in there. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, but even he was prudent for crying out loud. Well, bless God, I'm going to go walk in jewelry. Why would you do that? They're going to kill you. Well, I know the Lord's going to save me, and away you go. You end up getting killed. Now, there are times that the Lord may say to you, go down there. But being prudent says you're going to be smart. You saw the evil. You hide yourself. You don't go on. If the bridge is out, you don't go and walk on the side of the beams and try to make it across. Hope you're going to make it. If they're killing you in Mosul as a Christian and they're slaughtering everybody, you don't go down there with a camera and take pictures. And this is exactly what one young man did. They offered him $500 to go take pictures of ISIS and what they were doing. He did it, got caught, and was crucified. And then beheaded. And they made a nice video of it. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. He said, the Lord said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So if this thing comes to America, which it will, and your pastor wants you there every Sunday, and you know you live in Dallas, Texas, and you can't even get through except going through the bad part of town, which is rioting all the time, stay home. Use prudence. The church does not, it's not heaven, folks. Many of the pastors who have gotten rich off the church, yeah, churches today are modern corporations. They take, you know, they agree, you know, the government agrees to let them be a nonprofit for certain things, 501c3. And I could name you the evangelists that are multimillionaires tonight because of that arrangement. A church is not a multimillionaire establishment with a big name pastor who has everything and living in an $8 million home. That is America's version. That version will send you into the pit of hell. That is Laodicean, rich and in need of nothing. You want to know a pastor? He's the one that's holding a congregational meeting below a tree out in the middle of Africa somewhere, and he doesn't have the money for anything, and they gather together in the name of the Lord. the Spirit of God is in your heart, you become born again, and where two or more of you who are in the Lord are gathered, he's in the middle. He's not in the middle of the church because it's named after, you know, a Baptist or even a Catholic or Assembly of God. He's not coming back for bricks and stones. The called out ones, Ecclesia, is not the name of the man-made denomination. Now, they have their uses, yes, but in the time frame that we're talking about, when times get tough, you have to be prepared. It'll take fasting. It'll take prayer. It'll take every bit of prudence that you have and the Spirit of God. Hosea 14:9. Who is wise and he shall understand? Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Amos 5:13, therefore the prudent shall keep silent in that time, for it is an evil time. There's a night coming when no man can work. There's a time coming when Christians are not going to be able to work. In Iraq, that time has already come. In Mosul, the time has come. It's the time of the night. And there's war and bloodshed. And there's been unspeakable evils done in the town. The churches are either burnt, destroyed, or made into mosques or something else. There's no crosses left. The churches, the Christians have all gone. The archbishop said that before they all left. He said, all the Christians now are gone out of the city. There's none left. In Iraq, that used to have a good presence, and the Christians who are Assyrian have been in that place for 4,500 years, and now they're gone from it. There, you can't even find a Christian like they were. It's not there. It's gone. It's wiped out. And if you go over to Nigeria and parts where Boko Haram has declared a caliphate, if you go into, what was it, Baga, B-A-G-A, that they hit not too long ago, they did a series of satellite photos of the area, and you could see the progression over days of the desolation that happened to that city. The whole place was razed to the ground. There wasn't anything standing. People were slaughtered like dogs. Christians, you name it. That is Boko Haram following Daesh or ISIS's way of doing things. Now see, when these things begin to happen, you need to put yourself together mentally, spiritually. You need to have answers for your children and your wife. You need to have answers for yourself. And the answer, my friends, is this: we are in the end of days. Evil is going to grow. And the Lord gave us that scripture at the end of Revelation. He that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is evil, let him be evil still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. For my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. That is what it is in these end days. God is allowing it to grow. Scripture tells us that the Lord will destroy those who have destroyed the earth. You have people today working on destroying the earth. You have people working on putting together their own ideas on things. There are smart people working to figure out how to get rid of most of the population on this earth so they can save the earth, because they believe that it's too much carbon being used up. You have more idiots out there that have knowledge and they're leading this world into a plethora of death and destruction, and it's on purpose. Because many of them figure, well, we've got the money, we can build ourselves underground cities, or we can find a way to be saved, and all the rest of them can die, and, you know, you give us a number of decades and we'll get out of this, but we need to get rid of some people. I mean, these are things... This is why when you get in Revelation and you see so many that get killed. This is also why when you get in the wrath of God, you see that the Lord will feed them blood. He will give them blood to drink. The rivers, the waters, the lakes, the oceans will turn to blood. Why? Because they're worthy. Because the blood of innocent and of them that are slain in the earth are on these people. Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Now see, there's prudent people of the world. Now what I'm talking about is prudence garnered from the Scripture. Luke 10:21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. This is another one, the same one, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now in this one, it reveals even more, you know. You are your father's baby. in Christ. You are that one that this Father wants to take care of through Christ. And he knows many are going to die. But you see, Christ died for our sins. And he's provided that even if we do die, we don't die. See, we live in this body of death anyway. And this body of death we have to put off. Because it's flesh and it's going to die. It's corrupted. But your spirit man, your soul is the thing, that portion, that's who you are, that's what Christ has saved. So when those who kill the body, they can't touch your soul. They can't touch you. And you see, Scripture tells us, that we will be like him, meaning the Lord, when we see him as he is. When he comes in the clouds, when he finally comes to get us, we will see him and we will be changed in an instant and we will be like him when we see him as he is. Acts 13:7. Sergius Paulus is what it's talking about. He was known as a prudent man. And he called for Barnabas and Saul, and he wanted to hear the word of God for salvation. Now, the Greek word for prudent is sunitos. This means mentally put or putting together. In other words, sagacious, wise. You've heard of the sage, a learned, you know, somebody that's learned, perceptive, intelligent. That's what this word means. 1 Corinthians 1:19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, while I'm talking about prudence, this is the prudence of the secular world. Paul said it best when he said, they're ever learning. Today we live in that part from Daniel where the world is going to advance in knowledge. It already has. And men will go to and fro in the earth, which they do today by airplane and many other ways. Paul says of this, they're ever learning. In his age, they were always learning, always wanting more wisdom, always wanting more knowledge. But Paul says they're ever learning, but they can't ever come to the knowledge of the truth. It's not the fact that you're learning. That's not the good thing. Now see, that was the biggest thing that Gnosticism, that was fighting the early church. But see, just having knowledge and wisdom isn't going to get you anywhere. Just being smart is not going to get you to recognize the Son of God. If that were the case, everybody would be saved. But the Jews themselves, even Paul was there in the beginning. You had the chief priests, you had the Sanhedrin, you had the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Paul was in the middle of all of them when the Lord started walking and started his ministry. Paul was there when Stephen was martyred, the first martyr. Paul did not come to know the Lord at that time. But he was well learned. But he said later that he did everything ignorantly. But he was well learned. How can you do things ignorantly if you're learned? Well, you can. Because even the learned and the wisdom of the world will do foolish things. And what God is trying to tell you is that there is a wisdom, there is a prudence, there is an understanding that's deeper than what the world can understand. And beyond that is a God which works supernaturally. I'll tell you the prudence of God, and that is Passover. The Pharaoh couldn't understand it. But by the time the Pharaoh finally agreed to let the children of Israel go, his kingdom was destroyed. And because the Pharaoh refused to listen, and of course he was considered God on earth, his heart was hardened and he went after the children of Israel. But see, the prudence of God told the children of Israel, you take a lamb without any blemish, and you have to have it sacrificed in the proper way. And he gives instructions for all this. He says, and you take that portion that you're to eat, and the blood. And you take the blood and you put it on the lintels of the doorpost, and you dress up, you get everything ready. And you eat. And you're not going to have time to bake bread, so you just take what you have. That's why they have unleavened bread. They didn't have time to bake it. And so the wisdom of God said, you get ready because the death angel's coming through there. I'm going to pass over Egypt, and your deliverance is the fact that you stay in your house. None of you get out of that house. The whole family stay in that house, and I will pass you over. And you will live. And they did. That's the prudence of God. That's the knowledge. That's the hand of God. Now, if God can deal with Israel that way, and if he can take them through 40 years in the wilderness, don't you think he can get you through what's coming? But see, you need to seek him. You need to get close to him, and you need to get in that mindset, and that's what I'm trying. I'm not trying to give you all the answers. I'm trying to give you the vision here of who God is in these last days and who you are. A prudent man, a prudent woman, learned, perceptive, intelligence with faith. You foresee what is coming because God has revealed it in his word, either through direct revelation or in the Word of God, and you prepare. And you leave your options open. Proverbs 10, 4 through 7. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. And as for all of his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud, and under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Thank you. Then if you move ahead to verse 12, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow. Now you see, Christ died for us. We've been grafted in. And this thing isn't over. We know the wicked in the world. We know those that think the Christians are crazy. But see, within that word, within the Lord, is the secret. Now, there's a couple of other Proverbs that I like. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You see, if you truly have a friend, and the Lord spoke to the issue of friendship, greater love has no man or woman than if a man lay down his life for his friend. The Lord taught us that four-letter word love, and he taught it by example. A friend loveth at all times, and the Lord is more than a friend. He's our Savior. It says here, and a brother is born for adversity. Well, I'll tell you, the thing I remember about Bible school and going through college wasn't the fact of graduation. I remember that. And the little piece of paper they give you so you could go preach. No. The thing I remembered and appreciated more about Bible college than anything there is the love we had between the brethren there. Because you know that they would have died for you. Now, all these years later, we've parted our ways, gone different ways, and we don't really know one another anymore. I choose to remember them as they were. But you see, we were young, and we had koinonia groups. You remember that word, koinonia? And we'd meet together in our, and we were family. I had my wife and kids there. I lived in the family section. There was a whole row of us. We'd meet together in our small groups. And we would believe God together. We would share. We would cry. If there was adversity, we shared it. We were close. We didn't have anything. No money. Everything went to get us through college. I went to school full time. Had a job. And I managed to pull down a very high grade point average with that job and going to school. By the grace of God. And we're coming to a time, folks, that to be honest with you, in America, we are so independent, we are so careless about anybody, that the devil's going to have a heyday. Brethren are supposed to love brethren, but you see, we can't even get other denominations to love other denominations of Christians. See, this is not about denominations. It's not about being a Baptist or a Lutheran, but that's what we make it. So there's going to be a fire. And that fire is going to remove all of that. carnality. Now, let me give you a scripture that I think is very, very important here. Ecclesiastes 7, 13 through 15, but specifically verse 14. This is very, very important. Now, I want you to remember this. Ecclesiastes 7, 14. But I'm going to read you the context. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. That's what we're seeing in the Middle East. We have many people who are righteous that have perished, and they were just there. And ISIS or Daesh killed him. Then there's the wicked man who prolongs his life and he lives as wicked as he can. The righteous are taken and the wicked stays there. But you see, God says in verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And you and I, as Americans, and if you live in many of these westernized nations that are friends of America, you have been prosperous as well. But Americans have been exceedingly prosperous. Not only are we supposed to be righteous, but if God gives us prosperity or a good life, and prosperity here is not having endless, you know, amounts of money and having no bills. That's not prosperity, folks. Prosperity can be life, health, family, many other things. But in the day of prosperity, and for this aspect, we say, there again, I've lived a good life. I've been to Bible school. I've been married a long time. I have many blessings. I've had many good days. I've had some bad ones. I've had stretches years and years ago. But in the day of prosperity, be joyful. And we're still in the day of prosperity because it hasn't fallen. But you and I are living in a time when it's not just a day of adversity, but the day of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation. But in that day of adversity, in that day of the Jacob's trouble, in that day, if you're in Iraq when ISIS came through, that was adversity. God is the God of the nations, and he has called the end from the beginning. He told us that peace would be taken from the earth. He told us that men would wage war, that they would learn war. And in the end, man left to himself will actually destroy himself. It says here in verse 14, to the end that man should find nothing after him. But the scripture pointedly says, and the Lord says this, that if God did not shorten the days, there would be no flesh left alive. That's God's mercy. You see, God has set the end from the beginning, and he has called these end days. But you see, things are going to get so bad and man is going to get so wicked and people are going to try to kill so many that if God does not intervene, there would be no flesh left alive. Think about that. We are supposed to be the higher species here. But if you look back in our history, how many species of animal has gone extinct? Do you think that man did it? Or did you think that the animal himself just made himself extinct? Well, in some cases, it just happened. The Ice Age. Many animals killed died. But there's others that go extinct because of man. Well, see, now we find out that man is going to go extinct because of man. That if the days aren't shortened, there will be no flesh left alive, but for the elect's sake, he will shorten the days. But you see, when I enter in that, I have developed this, and I've been doing this for years. Be thankful, be joyful, and thank God for your day of prosperity. When the day of adversity comes, buckle your belt, get your faith up, and be determined to get through it, no matter how bad it is. Because he is God, and I have determined that. And the Lord the other day put that in my heart again. My grace is sufficient for thee. My God's favor is enough to get me and my family through. My God's favor. And in the day of prosperity, he's my God through Christ Jesus. In the day of adversity, he's my God through Christ Jesus. Whether I live, whether I die, I'm in the Lord. Period. I'm not to fear them who kill the body, but to fear him who can not only kill the body, but destroy the soul in hell. See, this is prudence. See, when you can develop that, that takes away the devil's biggest weapon with you, and that will be fear. Because he will use it, and he will tell you that you'll never get through this. You'll never be able to pay your bill. You'll be living under, you know, the underpass. You'll be doing this. You'll be doing that. You're going to die. There's no hope. God hates you. You're ugly. You know, you're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too whatever. I mean, the devil has no end of the things he can tell you. And you need to take that away from him. You need to just get in there and say, I'm the Lord's. Live or die, I'm the Lord's. And I have determined to open the door to tomorrow by faith. If there's a day of prosperity there, fine. He's my God, the God of my prosperity. If there's a day of adversity, he's my God. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? You say, well, I'm going to kill you. I do not fear those who can kill me. In Isaiah 39 through 21, Isaiah is speaking to Israel as a rebellious people. Think of the church when we do this. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Don't tell us about any sin. Don't tell us the things that we should know. Tell us nice things. Tell us how we can give $100 and get rich. Tell us how we can get a big cad. Tell us how we can get a big house. Tell us where we can find the biggest, fanciest church. Tell us how we can find the most good-looking pastor. Tell us, tell us, tell us. Because they want what they can see, what they can feel, what they can touch, what they can smell, what they can hear. They want the five senses. But you and I are born again by the Spirit of God. The five senses, yeah, they're in this body. But we must learn the way of the Spirit. Verse 15 of that says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not." Now see, that's what the Lord wanted them to do. To return, to repent, and he would give them rest. And in that rest, they would be saved. He would save them from that which was going to come on them. They would develop a quietness and a confidence, and it would become their strength because they returned to the Lord. But Scripture says they would not. They wouldn't have it. They wouldn't listen. They were not prudent. Their spiritual ears weren't open. "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you..." Now this is what he was going to do. They wouldn't listen. He says, "I'll give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Now see, when you start talking about hard times, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Adversity and affliction. Now we're coming to a time of trial. It goes on to say, "Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." Now see, through this bread of adversity, through these troubles, they'll begin to learn wisdom. "And as they do," and this is a scripture that I love, this has literally happened to me, "and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." When you are doing this, you will literally, there is that angel that is right behind you, walking with you. And you will hear a voice. Now, they use, "this is the way, walk in it," but what he will do is give you a word pertinent for the time. When you're going through affliction, adversity, you seek the Lord. You need to understand there are spiritual ears to hear. You are a spiritual being born again by the Spirit of the living God. You are not like them. You need to believe this stuff. Now, as we move on here, I've got 21 minutes. Hebrews 13:3 says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." And I have told you a lot about, and I write a lot about, the brethren who are in prison for their faith. I've told you a lot about this. I do that for a reason. We are to remember those that are in bonds, because one of these days that may be you. You may be in that adversity. And we've got one major pastor from America left to get out, Abedini. When he went to Iran, he didn't think he would be where he's at. And we've been praying for him. He's still there. Now with him are other Christian pastors from Iran, because they're persecuting Christians more. If you're going to live in Iran as a Christian, it's going to cost you. If you're going to live as a Christian in the Middle East or Pakistan or India or North Korea, it's going to cost you. You have lived a Christian in America, in the UK, in Canada, in Australia, in New Zealand for how long? What has it cost you? Your brethren have died. Oh, it's cost them. Let's just put it that way. The least we can do is remember those that are in bonds. And if we have anything that we can do to help them, donate to organizations to help get them free. Donate to organizations that will actually rescue them out of there and bring them out of that trouble. Now, this is a description of Jacob's trouble, my friends. Jeremiah 30, 5 through 9. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Now that's what Jacob's trouble does. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Well, they don't, but yet this trouble is so bad, it would seem like the men are in travail as a woman. This is what it says. Wherefore, or why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Now, that little scripture there. Now, in the New Testament, it says men's hearts will fail them for fear of those things coming on the earth. They're speaking of the same thing. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jacob. Jacob referring to the 12 tribes of Israel. But there's more to it than just that. Within the 12 tribes, of course, there was Joseph. Out of Joseph came Ephraim and Manasseh. Out of Ephraim, he got the blessing of the firstborn. And out of him was the blessing of the Gentiles and the nations, which came through Abraham. And then it funneled through Ephraim. Very important scripture here, and I don't have time to go in the whole thing here. But Jacob, he shall be saved out of it. Now, many people think the only Jews there are on this earth are the ones in Jerusalem and around the world. No, those are Judah. Jews are Judah. There are the lost tribes, and they are there, and they are in the earth, and God will save them. But there's also believers, Gentile believers. Says he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of God, that I'll break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. That is the greater son of David, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who will come again, and he will rule and reign out of Jerusalem. Now, let's go to Luke 21. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unaware. This is verse 34. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Jacob's trouble, here it's described as a snare. But it says, watch you therefore, pray always, what? That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, to escape. and to stand before the Son of Man. So what is the commandment to do here? Take heed, so the day don't come upon you unaware, knowing that it's going to come like a snare. So you're to take heed, you're to watch, and you're to pray. So we're to take heed, we are to watch what's going on, and we are to pray. What? That you and your family will be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You pray. Revelation 11:18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. It's hard to believe that there are those that will destroy the earth. Now, this just isn't men, though, folks. The devil and his angels, his evil ones, are meant to destroy the earth. That's what they want to do, and destroy man along with it. They will be destroyed as well. Matthew 24:21, For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Jeremiah 25:31, and noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh, and he will give them that are wicked to the sword. Now, these are very important prophetic scriptures about the end time. There's a great tribulation coming. No other generation is going to see what you and I have seen. But there's a controversy with the nations, and God is going to plead with all flesh. Now, he's going to do that through the tribulation. And then he's going to feed them blood who reject. And there's also going to be those who will be given to the sword. Now, they will be given to the sword when the Son of Man comes, the two-edged sword. Now, that's... So those who don't die of the wicked, that don't repent, who are alive, they're still going to die because of the sword of the word of the Lord. Micah 4:3 says of the Messiah, your Lord, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now see, America continues to learn war. Russia learns war. Iran learns war. North Korea learns war. China learns war. See, we're in this stage of the learning war. There's going to be war, folks. You have to get off over that. There's going to be war. There's not going to be any peace. Only peace will be found in the Lord. And America is not going to escape this. You will find it here. It's coming. But see, the Lord, one of these days, he's going to come, he's going to judge, and he's going to rebuke strong nations. And by the time he's done, all the enemies will put under him, and nobody will learn war anymore. It will be done. Zephaniah 3:8 tells us to do this. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Haggai 2:7, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Revelation 7:14, I put this in here because I like it. I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, and he was talking about those vast number that stood before the throne. And the angel said to John, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So the great tribulation, we have been taught that there, you know, everybody's going to be gone. Well, not everybody's going to be gone. There's going to be Christians there. There's going to be Christians that are dying. There's going to be people who are going. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Peter tells us this, 1 Peter 4:16 and 19. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." In Revelation 16:6, this is the judgment of the wrath of God. Revelation 16 begins the wrath of God, and this is what is said about it. "For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." Now you see, there are people in this earth today that have fed on blood. They're bloody. One of these days, they're going to be fed blood. It's called blood guilt. They will be judged for the deeds they do. Surviving coming afflictions, there will be those that will die, those that will be delivered supernaturally, those that will be murdered, and there will be those that will decide that they want a miracle and they will get it. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, we can't please Him. Without faith, we can't believe. Without faith, we can't access. 1 John 5:4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Revelation 14:12, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." That's where we need to be. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight and for this study. Bless this word to the hearts of those that have heard it. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from distorting this word from anyone that hears it. You are forbidden in Jesus' name for causing any trouble, distortion of this word to them. Father, let them hear this word. Add the increase, Father. Open their hearts in Jesus' name. So we are we got down there are a few other things I could cover in this, but we got pretty much through everything that I wanted to cover in this.
You're not going to do a part three?
No. We don't really have enough for a part three.
Oh, okay. Well, there's still a lot of stuff left, so I didn't know.
Well, not really.
Okay. Well, something, I should say.
And, we'll just have to, I may try to do this some other place or something, but we've covered this pretty much that... But I'm glad we got through what we did. So tonight,
well,
I hope that...
It was good it was a good word and encouraging, and I'll tell you what, I can hardly wait till they learn more no more, because I'm sure tired of the wickedness and the killing and the murdering and the raping and all the horrible stuff against people going on. I just can't get my head around how evil people are to each other. It just is beyond anything I can comprehend. I hate it.
Yeah, as do I. You know, you do get tired of the blood. You get tired of the fighting. You get, you know, tired of it. But, see, there is a patience that we're required to have.
Yes. Sometimes that's a hard thing, patience.
The patience of the saints, and that's what we have to have. And God requires us to have patient endurance. And that's just all there is to it. And it's better to go through this,
yes,
you know, trusting God than to go through it hating God or mad
Amen.
At him.
Amen.
So it's better just to accept it and go through it by faith and believe him for deliverance.
That's right. I can't imagine living in this world without the Lord. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, when I look at the whole thing, I can't believe sometimes the things we're seeing. And sometimes, you know, the wickedness is just more than, you know, you just can't believe it. But
more, no.
But God's grace is sufficient for us.
Amen.
You know, and that's not just something you say. That's true. God's grace is sufficient.
It is. Whatever we go through just makes us stronger.
Yep. And we're done with another one. We're on a Friday night. And I can't believe that we're going to be through January.
And just, no, we're already at the middle of the month.
Yeah, time goes by so fast.
We just started yesterday. It was just the first yesterday.
And we're glad that many of you join us. And don't forget to go on over to the warrenusa.com site. We have a lot of articles and things. And pray for us in this ministry. And pray for those who are in bonds.
Amen. And we pray for you all, too. And we love you dearly. We're thankful that you come and listen and that you want to live for the Lord.
Yeah.
And truly understand his ways.
Well, you know, and it was really good to hear that testimony of that young woman who had gotten saved in the middle of that. And I continue to hear these testimonies coming out of this. You know, and if
exciting.
If you hear one like that, you can bet that there's a lot more that haven't come forward. And so,
that's true.
You know,
where there's one, there's more.
Yeah, you better believe it. And we've heard of more than just that, but this is a particularly, you know, good testimony. And, you know, as evil and wicked and bloody as all that's been over there, you know, God can save to the uttermost.
Amen. He sure can. Nothing's impossible with him.
So at any rate, we're going to have to say goodnight, Tower.
Okay. Goodnight, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We love you and pray for you. God be with you. Enjoy your Shabbat.
Yes, thank you, everybody. So long. Shalom.
We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio. the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.